Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is joining the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and other state and federal partners in recognizing September as National Food Safety Education Month. CDFA also celebrates FDA's recent announcement to form a new unified human foods program with Jim Jones as its first deputy commissioner. They are happy to see Jim Jones accept this position, according to CDFA Secretary Karen Ross. She says they look forward to his work in FDA's new human foods program, continuing to elevate the importance of food safety and nutrition in all things that they know and do across their food programs, from field work to providing healthful nutritional accessibility for all. The agriculture industry has also been helping lead advancements in food safety, including through the California Leafy Greens Products Handler Marketing Agreement and Western Growers. As California partners continue to look ahead and collectively advance food safety, highlights include the California Agricultural Neighbors Action Report and Subcommittee Work, which is a collaborative effort since 2021 between California farmers, ranchers, shippers, handlers, composters, regulators, academia, and more to reduce outbreaks of pathogens associated with leafy greens in the Salinas Valley, which has resulted in a publication of California Agricultural Neighbors, Neighbor-to-Neighbor Best Practices to help enhance localized food safety efforts in June of 2022. The California Longitudinal Study, which has been underway since 2020, it is focused on addressing outbreaks of E. coli along California's coastal region, including the Salinas Valley. It's a partnership between California's leafy greens, cattle, viticulture, and compost producers, along with the University of California Davis Western Center for Food Safety and state and federal partners, including FDA Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. It is the first study in the Salinas Valley region focused on metagenomics, a genomic sequencing tool that can examine changes in entire microbial communities to identify environmental factors that significantly contribute to the introduction, persistence, and growth or die-off in a spread of food pathogens. The CDFA Technical Assistance Program, which continues to partner with the University of California Agricultural Natural Resources UC Cooperative Extension Specialist to conduct food safety workshops in various languages and locations throughout the state to help small farmers understand and comply with the Federal Food Safety Modernization Act Produce Safety Rule and the new era of smarter food safety. CDFA is working to align efforts with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in its new era of smarter food safety that leverages technology and other tools and approaches to create a safer and more digital, traceable food system. In June, CDFA received funding from the California Department of Technology's Technology Modernization Fund to develop a database for the CDFA Produce Safety Program to be more efficient in scheduling FSMA produce safety rule inspections and organizing farm information. The U.S. House of Representatives has approved a bill prohibiting California's attempt to eliminate all gas-powered vehicles. The bill passed the House 222 to 190. It would keep states from limiting the sale of gas-powered cars and revoke any federal approvals, allowing all states to do so issued since the beginning of 2022. The vote was along party lines, but eight Democrats did vote with Republicans in favor of the legislation. The legislation does not specifically mention California in its language. States can implement tighter clean air rules, stricter than those from the federal government under the Clean Air Act. But those states have to get permission from the Environmental Protection Agency first. The Hill says the EPA reinstated a waiver allowing a California rule aimed at limiting vehicle pollution to take effect, since then the state intends to completely phase out the new sales of gas-powered cars. The bill is not expected to become law. Celebrating 100 years of scientific development that has resulted in the creation of many new table and raisin grape varieties, the California Table Grape Commission joined USDA Agricultural Research Service officials, growers, and public and private stakeholders to commemorate decades of successful partnership, according to a recent news release. The California Table Grape Growing Community has partnered with ARS since 1981 to develop new varieties and since 2001 to protect and commercialize them in the U.S. and grape-growing countries around the world, according to Ross Jones, Commission Senior Vice President and Chief Science and Technology Officer. Jones spoke on behalf of the Commission and the growers it serves during a recent 100th anniversary ceremony at the San Joaquin Valley Agricultural Sciences Center. He recognized the accomplishments of breeders David Ramming, Craig Ledbetter, and members of their teams, emphasizing the teams' work to bring the hopes and dreams of generations of growers to fruition through the development of the kind of new cultivars that change the trajectory of individual farming operations and the expectations and eating habits of consumers around the world, according to the release. USDA-bred table grape varieties accounted for 36% of the volume that California table grape growers produced in 2022, according to the commission. The celebration commemorating the past represents a launch point for the next level partnership planned between ARS and the table grape growing community through the commission, according to Jones. A former employee of Lemos Family Incorporated on the outskirts of Half Moon Bay has filed a lawsuit alleging the agritourism company failed to pay minimum wage along with a range of other labor code violations. The complaint was filed on September 12th in San Mateo County Superior Court and seeks class action status. It alleges the popular attraction failed to pay some employees in accordance with California law. It also alleges Lemos did not provide breaks for meal periods, did not pay proper overtime, didn't give employees proper payment statements, and failed to pay employees' earned wages upon termination. The suit alleges the misconduct began at least 4 years before the suit was filed. The named plaintiff is Luis Furman, whom this suit characterizes as a nonprofit hourly employee at the amusement park. It says Furman worked 5 or 6 days a week from approximately 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., selling entry tickets, managing the parking lot, and performing other duties for the popular attraction on Highway 92 near the Ox Mountain landfill. On its website, Lemos Farm is characterized as a working farm and themed amusement park with pony rides, bounce houses, goat yoga, and more. The suit says Lemos managers indicated employees were agricultural workers and therefore exempt from some California labor regulations. However, plaintiff and putative class members are not agricultural employees because they are employed by the defendant to operate its amusement park, according to the suit. Agricultural workers were not always entitled to overtime in California. Assembly Bill 1066 in 2016 created a timetable to bring such employees in line with workers in most other industries. By 2022, agricultural employers with more than 25 employees had to pay overtime for more than 8 hours in a single day and more than 40 hours in a week. Currently, farming operations with fewer than 25 employees must pay overtime after 9 hours in a single day or 50 hours in a work week. Notable waste and recycling bills are headed to California Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. If these bills are signed, California will become the latest state to pass right-to-repair legislation for consumer electronics, and the state will also expand its bottle bill to include juice containers and update its recycling center payment model. The state is also poised to adopt a new law that would affect waste hauler franchise agreements when there's an ongoing labor dispute. It wasn't as busy of a year for recycling-related legislation compared to 2022, when the legislature passed Senate Bill 54, a landmark paper and packaging recycling bill, which set statewide plastic reduction and recycling goals. However, several bills that passed this year aim to help California jumpstart its efforts to comply with Senate Bill 54 by banning most plastic gift cards, establishing a working group to identify alternatives to single-use plastic, and cleaning up some ambiguous language from the original Senate Bill 54 text.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Foliar tissue analysis is a test that determines essential or toxic levels of nutrients in leaves and is one of the most efficient ways of doing so. It's used as a means of 1. Detecting tree response to fertilizer programs, 2. Determining nutrient element deficiencies or toxicities, and 3. Estimating fertilization needs prior to nutrient deficiency symptoms. All tree nut growers are recommended to take a foliar tissue analysis each year, including walnut growers. The results of a leaf analysis can't be better than the sampling and analytical procedures used. Therefore, properly sampling and a reputable laboratory are an integral and vital part of foliar analysis. Stanislaus County Cooperative Extension Farm Advisor Carrie Arnold recently explained in an educational video the importance of foliar analysis.
Instead of asking what the tree needs by the content in the soil or the amount of fertilizer applied, you ask the tree directly about its current nutrient levels. Nutrient concentrations tend to fluctuate during the season but stabilize in July. Therefore, experts suggest collecting tissue samples in July when nut development is well underway. To collect your samples, walk around your field at random. Do not incorporate more than 40 acres in one sample. Leaf nutrient concentrations also depend on the location of the leaf in the canopy. For walnuts, pull terminal leaflets. Pull leaves from all four quadrants of the tree. Pick a sun-exposed, non-fruiting spur or branch about 6 feet off the ground. You want to make sure trees you sample from are at least 40 feet apart. About 50 leaflets are required per sample. Avoid collecting from sick, injured, or stunted trees.
The leaves should be collected in plastic or paper bags and stored in a portable ice chest, ideally. Leaves in plastic bags must be kept cool and protected from direct sunlight, and the bags should be labeled with the following information: date, orchard location, and tree location per UC guidelines. The best time to take the leaf sample is during June and July. At this time, most leaves are fully developed and their nutrient concentration is stable. However, samples may be taken in August or September, but interpretation of the results must be adjusted for seasonal effect.
July leaf tissue samples are an excellent resource to determine next year's fertilization practices. When you get the results, you can compare them to standards developed by the University of California. The critical leaf value is the point at which your orchard will suffer yield losses. If your orchard is at that point, you should consider an aggressive fertilization program. The sufficient range is the target. If your samples come back in this range, plan to fertilize based on crop removal rates. If you are above the sufficiency range, congratulations! You can reduce the amount of fertilization you do for a year or two. Be wary of zinc. The metal binds to leaf cuticles, giving artificially high leaf values. This zinc cannot be washed off.
Leaf tissue analysis is not a substitute for visual observations, but is simply a tool to use for a sound fertilization program. In most cases, it will confirm toxicity and/or nutritional problems in the orchard.
For more information, visit the California Department of Food and Agriculture's California Crop Fertilization Guidelines website.
For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced milk loss program assistance for eligible dairy operations for milk that was dumped or removed without compensation from the commercial milk market due to qualifying weather events and the consequences of those weather events that inhibited delivery or storage of milk during calendar years 2020, 2021, and 2022. It's administered by the Farm Service Agency. Sign up runs through October 16th. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries accused the chamber's GOP majority of hijacking the farm bill in what traditionally has been a bipartisan effort. The New York Democrat was asked about Ag Chair G.T. Thompson's latest reported comment that a farm bill extension may be needed.
The farm bill should not be a divisive area. It is fertile ground for cooperation and for common ground and for coming together.
But the House Minority Leader charges that is not what has happened this year.
The only problem that we confront now is that the extreme mega Republicans want to hijack the farm bill and to take it in a certain direction, inconsistent with meeting the needs of farmers and the American people, and we will oppose that every step of the way.
Alluding to GOP efforts to further pare SNAP, food stamp benefits, and possibly other programs. But Republicans are unbowed by the criticism. South Dakota's Dusty Johnson earlier proposed expanded SNAP work requirements and limiting federal waivers to states to require work.
Were these work requirements extreme when they were put into place with Democrats and Republicans working together in 1996? Were those work requirements extreme when a bipartisan group of Democrats or Republicans stood together to renew them in farm bill after farm bill? Were they extreme when Senator Joe Biden said from the floor of the Senate, the culture of welfare must be replaced with the culture of work?
But Democrats argue people who receive SNAP benefits are already working and struggling with surging food prices. An annual awareness campaign focused on farm safety and health centers on this year's message of the value of those working on the farm and keeping them safe. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
National Farm Safety and Health Week is actually one of the longest presidential proclamation weeks in the nation. Actually, FDR signed the first one back in 1944, and it's been continuous since then.
And Dan Needed of the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety says the theme of this year's awareness campaign is No One Can Take Your Place.
Unfortunately, still with the number of fatalities that we're having, or even the injuries, if it's time off, it's not typically like there's another employee that's there on the family farm that can take over those jobs as you heal. They just don't get done to be able to do it. And of course, if there's a fatality, there's a gaping hole, and sometimes it leads to the sale of the family farm to do that. So that is our overall message.
National Farm Safety and Health Week is traditionally observed during the third week of September, this year September 17th through 23rd, the timing coinciding with either the start of or ongoing harvest season across much of the country. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
National Farm Safety and Health Week is now through Saturday. Robert Wagner, Senior Vice President for Regulatory and Scientific Affairs with the International Dairy Foods Association, provided oral testimony to the 2025 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, a panel of 20 nutrition and public health experts tasked with providing a scientific report to inform the federal government's next update on the dietary guidelines for Americans. In her testimony, Wagner stressed that 90% of Americans do not consume enough dairy to meet dietary recommendations, according to the 2020 to 2025 DGA report. Wagner urged a committee to maintain nutrient-rich dairy foods as a central part of a healthy diet, and she stressed that new science shows that limiting dairy based on fat level, as current guidelines recommend, does not lead to better health outcomes. While the 2020 to 2025 DGA report prioritizes the consumption of low-fat and fat-free options, IDFA is urging the DGAC to review expanding scientific evidence demonstrating that the consumption of dairy products, including full-fat products, is not tied to an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. Wagner's comments also stressed the wide availability and affordability of nutrient-rich dairy products that are lactose-free and low in lactose for people who want solutions to address lactose intolerance and lactose sensitivity. This meeting was the third meeting of the 2025 DGAC and the first opportunity for IDFA to give oral testimony. IDFA submitted comments in June.
AgroPlantae is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.